10 a.m. on Thursday, March 29th. We are at the Houston Appeals Office of the IRS. Present is myself, Peter Maciak, capital P, lowercase E-T-E-R, capital M, M-A-C-E-J-A-K, Peter Maciak, also Ken Grubaugh, and Kelly Hughes. You gentlemen are?
I'm James Stryker. My badge number is 525-181.
Wow. My name is Ken Anderson, and I'm an appeals officer with the IRS here in Houston. I don't have my number memorized. It is 5-253961, and that my number is also on correspondence I sent you.
Okay.
And let me back up for a minute. Mm-hmm. Kelly, you're Kelly?
Mm-hmm.
I am.
You're Kelly.
Kelly Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
Ken Grubaugh.
Yeah.
Ken Grubaugh.
Okay. How do I spell your last name?
G R U B A U G H.
Okay. Are either of you attorneys or CPAs or enrolled agents? Okay.
What's a road agent?
That's someone who takes a test.
Enrolled.
Enrolled. Yeah. Okay. And there's a presumption that they have your permission to be here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also to speak if necessary, if I ask them to.
Okay. Well, we'll cross that bridge. Okay.
Could I ask your badge, please? A picture on a white background, similar to yours, right?
Yeah. Picture on a white background.
Okay.
That is
good.
Okay.
All right.
Let's see. This hearing is a collection due process hearing?
Right. I'm actually here to get my refund for 1998.
Okay. This is under IRC Section 6330.
Okay.
It's with respect to a notice of lien that was filed.
No, levy has been filed, no liens have been filed
that's
yet.
Right.
This,
that's
is
right.
Sort of,
right. This is
and hopefully it won't come to that, but we can sort this all out here.
All right.
Because, like I said, I'm just here for, you know, my refund.
Okay, and this relates to your 1998 tax year.
Correct.
Okay.
You're familiar with Publication 1, right?
I've seen it.
Okay.
Well, we've got some information we need to cover first.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're here to, you know, help explain and protect my rights as a taxpayer, correct?
Well, let me go through what the purpose of this hearing is.
All right.
Okay. It's the only hearing that has been held relating to your unpaid tax liability for 1998.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Neither I nor Mr. Stryker have had any prior involvement with the unpaid amount.
Mm-hmm.
That is the subject of this hearing.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. This hearing is being recorded at your request.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a recording machine and I have a recording machine.
Yes.
So we have two recordings of this conversation. Okay, and they're both in use. Let's see. Do you have any other type of recording equipment on now?
Okay.
This hearing is the result of your filing a form 12153. It's a request for a collection due process hearing. Okay.
All right, because you guys were intending to, levy and take my stuff away. And
okay.
I felt inappropriately, so that's why I asked for a hearing.
Okay. And I need to verify that any further correspondence I send to you is the correct address, which is 800 Country Place Drive, number 106,
correct.
Houston, 77079.
Correct.
Okay. I need to remind you that this is an administrative appeal.
Sure.
Okay. Administrative appeal procedures do not extend to cases involving solely the failure or refusal to comply with the tax laws because of moral, religious, political, constitutional, conscientious, or similar grounds.
No, absolutely. I mean, I have filed, and, you know, you're saying that I filed incorrectly, and I don't understand why, and no one's ever told me. So, you know, according to my information and my references and my knowledge of the tax code, I filed 2555, which I believe I'm perfectly justified in doing, and it's the correct form. So no one's explained to me why I shouldn't file that, and that's why we have, you know, inches of paper in front of us.
You were sending a notice of deficiency?
Yes.
Okay, and you received it?
Yes.
Okay. I have a copy of the notice that you sent back to, I believe, Austin, and then you filed another form with the...
The 2555 is supposed to go to Philadelphia, where I sent it. Somehow, though, all the stuff started coming out of Austin, and I don't know why, because the 2555s are not processed in Austin. They're processed in Philadelphia.
Okay. Do you have any questions of me with respect to the collection procedures that have been followed?
Well, you've sent me letters, and here we are today.
Okay. That's...
You know, unless you have an assessment form and do other appropriate legal procedures, you can't take my stuff. I see.
Okay. Are you questioning the underlying liability?
Absolutely. I mean, here I have, you know, it shows here on this 22E that was sent to me on March 20th, 2000, that actually I was credited the amount that I requested back to refund, the $7,244. But somehow, another almost $10,000, $9,900 was added somehow to my, you know, the IRS changed my account, I think fraudulently, and, added almost 10 grand to it, including filing late penalties, civil penalties and interest to, gobble up the credit that I'm, legally due, and now I owe probably, $4,000 or something by now.
Okay. So you don't have any questions with respect to the collection procedures that were followed? In other words, you received a notice from the service saying this is what we think you owe.
I received reasonable notices that have indicated to me that the IRS believes that I owe them money, and I have responded to all those notices saying that, no, you're wrong, and no one's ever responded to answer my questions, and no one's ever, answered my allegations that I've been, that I have filed inappropriately.
Okay.
You know, I've always asked, please tell me what I did wrong, and, tell me on this form that I sent you, for instance, I've sent you, we've been corresponding for over 6 months now, and in all those correspondences I've sent you, I've always included a form that, would be essentially a notice that you tell me what I did wrong, what forms I'm supposed to include, and, you never responded to that.
Okay. You received a notice of deficiency.
Yes, I did.
And you could have raised the liability question at that time with the tax court. You could have raised it in appeals. You could have actually gone to appeals before you went on the tax court. And in not doing that, that avenue was closed off. And as I just pointed out to you, this administrative procedure really comes down to some sort of... my question to you is, how do you propose paying this liability?
Can I talk to you?
Sure.
It took the IRS 6 months to get back to me in the first place, okay? When I filed my return, I included a notice, okay? A notice of position taken that, unless you let me know in 30 days that I'm wrong, I'll assume the information that I've sent to you is true and correct. So 6 months later, you guys decide that, no, you're not, and, by the way, you owe us...
You're raising liability questions.
I'm not liable for any tax, okay? I had filled out the correct forms to the best of my knowledge, and no one's told me that I've been wrong about that, okay? I'm here to get my refund.
Okay.
It's that simple.
What I'm saying to you is, are you prepared to discuss how you're going to pay the liability? Are you or are you not?
If I'm liable for any tax, yes. We can discuss arrangements for that. However, no one's demonstrated to me how and where I'm liable.
Okay.
After all, because, I have a credit here, shown credit, so why, do I not have that?
All right, let me do two things. All right, and I think that what frankly that will end this hearing. First of all, this is an obligation that I have to give to you. That's what they call a literal transcript. That's a transcript of your account, and that shows that the tax was actually assessed. Okay.
Yeah.
And in answer to your inquiry about receiving certification, specifically like a 23C,
mm-hmm.
that is what I have to give to you.
That's
enough.
Is this form a 23C?
That is not a 23C, but the courts have held that that's...
No, they haven't. What is this?
Okay.
That's 21. This is a 1040, Ken. This is not a 2555. Okay.
All right. And let me give you something else. This is something I took out of what's called tax notes today. They're a tax service that a lot of tax professionals have access to. And it discusses a court case. And I think you don't have to do it here, but when you get a chance, maybe you should read the case.
Mm-hmm. Have you reviewed my file?
I have reviewed your file.
Okay.
And in some depth. Everything you've said to me, I have seen in one place.
Are you actually authorized to do so?
Yes, ma'am.
You are.
And you've seen all Peter's paperwork.
Right. You've seen all my, you've seen my return. You've seen my responses. You've seen certainly all the forms you guys have sent me. Okay, and you've not read any of this inch of paper.
Look,
I've sent you.
I can tell you that I have read
certainly what correspondence
in your file,
I've sent you. Right,
that's quite a bit of correspondence.
Okay. You're not trying to deny me my due process rights, are you?
What I'm saying to you is. We've just had a due process hearing. And I would like to be able to work out something with you in which you actually pay the tax.
I don't think you understand that I am not liable for this. Somehow somebody threw on $10,000 almost onto my, you know, here actually on the form you just gave me. I'm not sure what this form actually is. You know, that additional tax assessed by examination. I don't know where you pulled $9,900 from.
In my opinion,
when you know that you owe me $7,200.
Let me offer you some advice here, because I really want to try to offer you some advice to help you here.
So, you think that this meeting's over?
Yeah.
Well, what we can do is, you know, if you feel that you need more time to talk about this hearing, you know, we can reconvene this at a later date. We can postpone this hearing. You know, it's not over.
This meeting's not over. Peter called this meeting.
Yes,
exactly. We'll continue until we get the answers.
Yeah, so I don't want to have my due process rights.
I'm going to tell you what the story is here. You received a statute of remorse of deficiency. You were given 90 days if you wish to petition the tax court.
I gave you 30 days to respond to my...
Your case.
I gave you 30 days to respond to my return, and you never did. It took you 6 months. So, you know, whether it's 30, 60, or 90 days, that's irrelevant, because you guys don't respect the time that I gave you.
And here are the things that we can discuss. Under statutory law, Congress has said you were given a stand notice, you elected not to pursue it.
I wasn't noticed by the district director for anything. I haven't been noticed to keep books and records or anything. No one's told me what form was going to file.
You received a statute of notice of deficiency. You were listening to congressional reports.
The notice of deficiency box right here, you know, and no one's ever told me what I've done wrong.
Okay.
All you do is throw money at me, bills at me, rather, and you don't explain anything. I've made a good faith effort to respond to all your papers, okay? And no one's ever given me a straight answer, and all I want is a straight answer. So
I'm trying to explain it to
you. You're supposed
right
to, you know, according to your publication,
I'm trying to help you.
All right, sorry, go ahead.
No problem, I understand. Now, under the law, once you receive a stat notice, if you do not pursue that avenue, this meeting is on collection due process. We've already passed the opportunity to discuss the liability. You were given that opportunity, that time has passed. Now what you can do, if you still feel that you feel that the liability is not owed, you can pay it, file a claim for refund, and go into district court. However, we are now offering you an opportunity now to try to decide how you want to pay it. Under the law, these are the things that we can discuss with you, try to help you right now. We can discuss if the IRS met its requirements, which apparently it has, and you haven't raised any issues in that. We'll listen to any kind of concerns that you have other than the actual understanding the amount of liability that's owed, since that is a closed door. We'll try to help you determine how you want to pay the tax if you want to pay it. We will, however, not discuss the underlying liability because that door is now closed.
So what, you know, what gives you the right to ignore my request within 30 days?
This is only one last thing. This is the only collection due process that you're going to have on this year. So this is your opportunity to discuss with us how you want to pay it, or if you had any concerns about if we followed proper procedures. Now, we provided you the information to show that it was assessed. We'll be glad to explain that to you if you have any questions. But as far as underlying liability, we cannot discuss that because there is no need to discuss it.
So my $7,244 that, you know, my Form 2555 indicated that I am due as a refund is irrelevant. The fact that I asked you guys to get back within 30 days to prove me wrong or to tell me how I am wrong, okay, is irrelevant. But because your notice of deficiency said that I haven't filed within X days, we certainly don't have the opportunity to talk about that. I don't believe that's very fair at all. I don't want to be intimidated by it.
You answered this, correct? We answered this.
Yes, I did answer.
We denied it. This has been refused.
Yeah. I mean,
it's accurate.
Exactly. I mean,
he has that in.
You know, I've sent this in response to these, okay? Now, you say that you've reviewed my file, and, you know, I'm not sure that you actually have, because I filed this enormous pile of paper here, this response to 22E, okay, that explained my position. So why is it suddenly suitable for us to talk about, well, how are you going to pay when I feel that I'm not liable, that I'm due a refund, okay, and I feel I'm being intimidated, okay, and I've heard the horror stories of what you guys can do to people, okay, and I don't want that to happen to me. But no one's ever explained to me why I am wrong. I'm just here to understand how, if I am wrong. So if you've actually read my file, then how come you haven't responded to it?
And we're not going to respond to that today. We've already mentioned to you why
we are not responding.
No, we don't. We respond. We are not going to discuss the underlying liability.
We have explained everything that we can explain to you as best as we can. I've given you a copy of the Pearson case, which I suggest you review.
Well, I mean, I've asked you, have you actually reviewed my file?
And you have said, no, you have not.
No, I have.
Is that wrong? What exactly are you saying, sir?
Okay.
Have you seen all the paperwork that he has put in his file?
Yes or no?
Well, I don't know what he has in his file.
Well, what I have reviewed is the information that I was given.
Here, correct?
I've given him.
Where did this come from? Because this has been refuted as fraud. The thing is, you're
No, wait. No, first of all, let's just discuss this with him.
He's not in medical practice before appeals. I'm sorry. He's not a CPA, he's not an attorney, not an enrolled agent. He can act as a witness, but he's not in medical practice.
I can speak if I want to speak.
Yeah, and I'm not a person to do so. Those are my rights, so that's the way it is.
You're not in
I've sent you. You got
to speak about you.
Are you trying to dumb in my due process rights? I've sent you several copies of this form that you have not acknowledged, that you have not returned. It's a simple request. What taxes am I liable for, if any? What forms am I supposed to use? And, you know, we're here to talk about how much I owe, and it's very simple. I don't owe because, you know, and if I do, how come you haven't told me how I'm supposed to file? All I am is I'm always wrong. You know what? I'm just trying to get some straight answers, and I'm not getting those for
you. Why are you refusing to tell Peter the tax he owes and what forms to fill? This is where this all comes from, Ken. Is he filled out his 2550 fines. He did what he was supposed to do. He followed your rules and regulations, the IRS set up, in your book. He's answered all your questions, and we can't get a straight answer, sir. And if you don't have the answer, then if we can't meet with you, who are we supposed to meet with, sir?
You were given the opportunity for the notice of deficiency.
We answered that opportunity.
Yes, and
you have denied the denied the answer.
You did not petition the tax court.
Tax court is not the place to this needs to be solved at this time.
That's right. That's why we're here. We're trying to resolve this.
You're looking at a liability question. What I'm saying to you is
you have to prove the liability, sir. And you have yet to show the liability.
You are not admitted to practice before the tax court.
I am not practicing before the tax court.
Answers you have to back up any facts, but you're not admitted to practice before the appeals division. And again, I think the meeting is over. We were here to discuss your collection due process hearing. We'd be glad to help that with you. I warned you, it's the only hearing that is available to you. It's a one hearing, only hearing.
Okay.
And so we have
messed
with you to try to offer any assistance we could.
We have not offered.
Address those problems that we would hear before a collection due process hearing. Again, under statutory law,
what statute, sir? What statute?
Yeah, can you show me the statute? That's the law. Show me the statute.
Take a look at 6320 and 6330. You have the statute there in front.
63 what, sir?
6320 and 6330.
I'll send you.
Both of those are ATF, sir. That's alcohol, tobacco. Neither one of those is in my subtitle A.
Thank you. I think the hearing is over. Thank you very much.
Okay.
No, sir. This meeting is not over.
If you wish to continue this meeting at another place, that's fine. But as far as I'm concerned, this meeting is not over. I asked for this meeting, and that's the way it is. So if you want to postpone it,
according to my clock, it's almost 10:20.
It does not matter. Peter asked for this meeting under the due process rights. This meeting is not over. So Peter requests this meeting to be over. He has not requested this meeting. You have not answered his questions. So far, you have violated your oath twice. In this meeting, you said that you would help him solve this. We have asked you, would you please tell Peter what forms, what tax, what's wrong with what he did? You have yet to do that, sir.
You're required by 26 CFR section 601 to, you're required to answer inquiries of individuals, okay, and you haven't done that at all. So, so far you guys haven't followed your own rules.
Read the regulation to him, Peter.
Yeah, let me read it. 26 CFR Section 601.201, Rulings and Determinations Letters. 1, it is the practice of the Internal Revenue Service to answer inquiries of individuals.
Let the record show that the two agents are getting up and leaving the meeting of their own free will. We want to continue this meeting. We are trying to get to the bottom of the situation, and the gentlemen are leaving without any response whatsoever. Will you not respond to our questions, sir? Can you give us a name? We should respond to our questions. For the record, it is now 10:20.
And we are willing to continue the meeting.
The two agents. Name the two agents.
Oh, the two agents. Ken Anderson, the Houston Appeals Officer, and his companion, Jeff?
James Stryker.
Have decided to leave the meeting of their own free will. This meeting is not closed. We have asked for this meeting, and they have exited of their own free will because they won't answer my questions as required by statute.
Start reading. Go into your contact. Restate your case.
Okay.
Ask them a question, say there's no other response.
Okay. I have filed a Well, you know, I tried to inform the agents of publication one, and they are not even here. So I'm just gonna, you know, I still have to state my position, and you know, the information that I have. Publication one indicates that the IRS mission is to provide American taxpayers with top quality service by helping them understand and meet their tax responsibilities, and by applying the tax law with integrity and fairness to all. Okay. You know, they say that they're trying to protect my rights. They say they will explain and protect my rights as a taxpayer throughout their contact with me. And they certainly haven't done that. And, you know, under 26 CFR 601.501C and 3 under the Administrative Procedures Act, the proponent of a rule or order has the burden of proof. Right. And they haven't proved anything yet. Right. Now, I have, you know, here under 26 CFR section 601.201, rulings and determination letters. One, it is the practice of the Internal Revenue Service to answer inquiries of individuals and organizations whenever appropriate in the interest of sound tax administration as to their status for tax purposes and as to the tax effects of their acts or transgressions. Nothing has happened. The IRS agents have left of their own free will, and they've decided that they don't want to continue this meeting. Well, I asked for this meeting, and they haven't done anything about it. Under the Disclosure of Privacy Act and Paperwork Reduction Act notice, noted that's notice 609, they say, the IRS's own documentation says, I'm not required to provide the information requested on a form that is subject to the Paperwork Reduction Act unless the form displays a valid OMB control number. Okay? Books or records relating to a form instructions must be retained as long as their contents may become material in the administration pertaining to any internal revenue law. Well, I have not been noticed by the district director in the first place to maintain such books and records. And under the IRS's own earlier documentation, the form that I'm supposed to file out, from 26 subtitle A111, income tax on individuals, assuming that I even fall under such a category, that cross-references that I'm supposed to file a form 2555. Now, no one has told me that I should or should not file a form like that or a different one. Mr. Anderson, am I under subtitle A, that's tax on individuals, income tax on individuals? Let the record show that the two agents, Mr. Anderson and James Stryker, are not here. They have left the meeting of their own free will. And refuse to answer this question. In later editions of the book that includes which forms I'm supposed to use, the 26 CFR, Part 602, OMB control numbers under the Paperwork Reduction Act, it indicates that under 1.1-1, subtitle A, income tax on individuals, that the current OMB control number is a 1545-0067, which cross-references over to a form 2555. In later editions of the table, that form is not present, nor is that number. So that is, that indicates to me that I'm not even supposed to file anymore, since that's not a valid form anymore. But no one's told me any differently. And that's what I came here to find out, and no one's explained that to me, even though they are required by statute to do so. According to 26 CFR 6001-1, records D, notice by district director requiring return statements or the keeping of records, the district director may require any person by notice served upon him to make such returns, render such statements, or keep such specific records as will enable the district director to determine whether or not such a person is liable for tax under subtitle A of the code, including qualified state individual income taxes, which are treated pursuant to section 6361A as if they were imposed by chapter 1 of subtitle A. I have not been noticed by the district director, nor have I, and their own order 24, order 24, the authority to keep records to be kept, they haven't followed that. And I've tried to get the IRS to notice me on what what forms and records and things I'm supposed to keep and that I haven't. Now, the federal regulations specifically state that the Internal Revenue Service encouraged the discussion of any federal tax matter affecting a taxpayer, which they certainly haven't done, and the agents were not willing to discuss the liability. Now, under Section 7401, the authorization, no civil action for the collection or recovery of taxes or any fine, penalty, or forfeiture shall be commenced unless the Secretary authorizes or sanctions the proceedings and the Attorney General or his delegate directs that the action be commenced. I have received no indication to that effect. Now, I have in front of me the IMF, my personal IMF, and there are, once I've begun decoding it, I've noticed that there's several inconsistencies, or rather frauds, on here that that needs to be corrected. First of all, under the VAL code, there's an indication of 1, which is that someone else is using my Social Security number, or my number is invalid. Well, that's certainly news to me, and I'd like to know how that happened. I also here have a number that begins with 150, that's a transaction code, which indicates that I'm part of the Virgin Islands, or a citizen of the Virgin Islands, which I certainly am not. I'd like to know how the hell that came about. Besides, transaction code 150 indicates that you need to use form 1040, which is meant for the Virgin Islands, and that's just incorrect. I have also further supporting documents here. I have another code on this on my IMF that indicates that an activity code is 533. That I'm a truck and body manufacturer, I believe from Puerto Rico. Well, that's news to me again also. I have other supporting documents. That VAL code, which had a digit of 1 next to it, is the explanation here under the law enforcement manual, the IRS manual, is that the SSN is not valid for the taxpayer using it. Well, that's news to me also, and no one's told me any different. Under the Internal Revenue Manual 3055.4.2, pages or sections from such a manual. Transaction code 150 is from the Virgin Islands. Now, further on that page, it says adjustment to Virgin Islands Form 1040 and 1040A. The pertinent information here is under Action Section Part 2 or Section 2, Heading 2, Action. Check TC150. Something for blocking Series 98 Virgin Island. So I'd like to know how I'm liable for any tax from the Virgin Islands and why I'm even supposed to file a 1040. As far as I'm concerned, with all the information that I have, I'm supposed to file a 2555, and no one's told me any different. Came here to try and resolve that, and the agents have left and refused to discuss that with me, even though they're required to do so. Furthermore, I've received forms CP-503 and 504, which are business master files, BMFs, and certainly I am not a business. I have received an IMF from the IRS, which is what I asked for. I'd like to know how I am required to be how I am presumed to be a business, how I am presumed to be a Virgin Island citizen. Now, even if I was liable for any particular tax, I am not in any kind of taxable profession. You know, sources of income for taxation. I came here to... I came here for this hearing to understand what tax am I liable for, to discuss the refund I am due, which their records clearly indicate. I've given them the opportunity to respond to my questions. They have refused. They have exited the room and terminated the meeting, at least on their opinion, of their own free will. And they still have not indicated what tax I am liable for, nor have they indicated what form I'm supposed to file. And I'm just putting forth a good faith effort to understand what my liabilities as a taxpayer are, if any. Now, we are going to continue this meeting. This meeting is not over, but we're going to continue this meeting at another location. and we're going to exit the IRS premises. The only information that the agents have been able to provide me is that I'm, you know, that I'm in violation of regulations 6320, 6330, and both of those are ATF. I'm not involved in any kind of alcohol, tobacco, or firearms business. And they won't tell me that I am either, and they haven't proven anything, and since when am I guilty before I'm proven innocent? We will follow this. We'll follow up this meeting with a letter to Mr. Anderson, the Houston Field officer, who agreed to have this meeting. And then,
I'm sorry.
So, Mr. Anderson, are you saying that you don't want to speak to me about my refund check? That you don't want to talk to me about how I may have filled out my form 2555 incorrectly? So is that your testimony, Mr. Anderson? Because I came here to get a refund, to discuss my refund, and you haven't done anything to help me do that.
And the statutes do say you're supposed to discuss any tax issue with the taxpayer.
I mean, you violated Publication 1, all right? And your other statutes.
I can't see it, R61.01.
I'm not interested in the Pearson case, actually, you know?
No.
I'm interested in my case. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to discuss Pearson or anybody else. It's that simple. So, if you want to continue this meeting at a later date,
goodbye, guys.
Ken Anderson has refused to continue talking to me.
Yeah, I'm going to listen.